Hey guys, before we dive into this episode, I have to share some exciting but also bittersweet news with you guys. In the next month, I am going to be running the last live version of Balance Your Hormones 101 before I go on maternity leave for pretty much the rest of the year. And I love this course so much. If you're not already familiar, because I know I've mentioned it in different podcast episodes, Balance Your Hormones 101 is my signature four-week program that covers all the ins and outs of all the nutrition info you need to actually balance your hormones once and for all. The way it works is that every single week you get access to a module on a different topic. So 1 week we cover blood sugar balance. 1 week we cover how to improve your gut health. 1 week we cover reducing inflammation. 1 week we cover balancing the hormones that regulate your cycle and your fertility. And within each module, you get three videos from me every single week, a video on the nutrition science, so you really understand the background behind why all of these things are important, a video on the practical nutrition. This is like the no nonsense, no fluff, just like what do you need to do, how to read food labels, how to get enough protein, how to get enough fiber. When people ask me what's the difference between the course and this podcast, if you're a very frequent podcast listener, I would say it's the practical nutrition. Like that's where we actually dive into the nitty gritty of like, how do we make this accessible in a way that you're making healthy choices that fulfill all the nutrient requirements for optimal hormone health every single meal. And then there's a video on building healthy habits. So how to turn all of these things into a sustainable lifestyle through your habits. And I have habits in there for people who are just starting out on their health journey, what I think of as like the level one habits, maybe for beginners, all the way up to, you know, level six, if you're a little bit more advanced or you've been on some sort of health journey for a while and you're ready to make bigger changes and, you know, put more effort in. There's really something for everybody in there. And during May, for the last time for the foreseeable future, in addition to everything in the course, which people have had so much success, I've gotten literally hundreds of messages from women who have taken the course and it's changed their lives and helped them feel better just from taking the course and watching those videos. But in May, I will also be offering live group coaching sessions as a free bonus with the course. So the way it works is that every week I come on Zoom and we can meet live. You can submit your questions beforehand. And I do record the sessions in case you're not able to make it live. But if you need some live coaching or you're watching the videos and you have some really specific questions about, I don't know, what's your favorite protein powder brand or what do you recommend if my work schedule looks kind of like this and I don't have time to sit down and make a healthy breakfast at home, where we can really get into, you know, answering some of the questions that might not be covered in the course because they're so specific to you or to your life. It's super fun. I have a lot of people who kind of lurk on the group coaching calls. They don't necessarily ask questions, but they tell me they learn so much from listening to other people's questions, which is really cool. And it's super fun for me because then I get to actually get to know you guys a little bit, the people who are actively in the course. And I want to just share with you, I got a message recently from someone who took the course last January 2024. And she sent me an update that I just have to share with you because it's so incredible. Here's what she wrote to me. Hi, Lauren. I hope you're doing well. I took Balance Your Hormones 101 a year ago, and I just needed to reach out and thank you because it seriously changed my life. I was diagnosed with PCOS when I was 16 and put on birth control to help regulate my periods, but I wanted to get off and see if I could regulate things on my own. I've also always struggled with my weight and I've tried every diet in the book, but nothing ever worked for me long term and I was always starving while I was on them. The information in the course was so clear and for the first time I actually felt so motivated to eat healthy. I felt full after my meals, which was amazing, and within a few weeks I had much more energy and I felt less bloated. Over the last year, I lost over 40 pounds and my cycles went from around 55 to 60 day cycles down to 31 or 32. I feel so confident in my skin and so confident in my food choices. Like I actually know what works for me now and I've been able to stick with this healthy lifestyle for almost 18 months. I tell all my friends about your course and your podcast and a bunch of them have become listeners and signed up for the course as well. And I love how we can support each other and have this healthy community together. Thank you so much for all that you do and put out there and wishing you a B'Sha'a Tova. This was the sweetest message and I was so happy to hear that this was something that was not only changing this person's life for 4 weeks, because that's really not the goal of the course. Most people are not going to transform their health or their life or really heal a hormone imbalance in 4 weeks. This is 4 weeks to get you started, to learn the information, to start building the habits, to have that support. But it is something that you can take with you for hopefully the next 2, 5, 10, 20, 50 years. And really something that can support you through all stages of life, through, you know, just trying to be healthy in general, trying to get pregnant, pregnancy, postpartum, all the things that come through our lives and womanhood. And I will just also say, I think it's really beautiful to hear all these like incredible results, but this is not a quick fix. It doesn't happen overnight. This course is for people who really want to sit and take the time and learn about nutrition and hormone health properly in order to build a healthy, sustainable lifestyle. So you are not going to sign up for this and lose 40 pounds in 4 weeks. This was someone who lost like 3 pounds a month for, you know, a little over a year. And it's something that might be really slow, but it is sustainable. I'll also add here, just because, you know, with the weight loss piece, it's not a weight loss program, but because we focus so much on blood sugar balance and reversing insulin resistance, especially for a lot of people with PCOS who struggle with weight gain, if insulin resistance is at the root of that, it can help you lose weight. But the program is not designed to be a weight loss program. It's just a side effect that a lot of people you also experience throughout the program. This program is really about health. It's really about honoring your body, your hormones, education around nutrition. I love it. I'm so happy that hundreds of people have also loved it and used it to help build healthier, happier lives. If you are interested in joining, you can click on the link in the show notes. All the info can be found there, or you can head to my website and just click on Balance Your Hormones 101. You'll see it right there on laurenallennutrition.com. And for my listeners, because I have a special place in my heart for all my podcast listeners. This is the only discount I'm giving on the program this time. You can use the code PODCAST10 for 10% off. So that's PODCAST10, PODCAST10. No spaces. Doesn't matter if it's capital or lowercase, and save 10% on the course. Okay. And with that, let's get into today's episode. Welcome to the About Health and Hormones podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Allen, a recovered sugar addict turned certified nutrition coach on a mission to help women learn how to balance their hormones and optimize their fertility. On this podcast, we have conversations with experts about all things health, hormones, wellness, nutrition, and more to give you the information, tips, and tricks you need to take control of your health and feel amazing in your body. I am so happy that you're here and I can't wait to dive in. Hey guys, welcome back to the show. I am so excited to have you here with me today and to dive into today's topic, which I think is going to reach a lot of you exactly when you need it. Because today we are talking about getting back on track after you have fallen off the wagon when it comes to your healthy habits. And I know for me, this is especially relevant right now. For a lot of us, it's especially relevant right now because this is my first day back to some semblance of routine after Pesach, after the Passover holiday, which I feel like, even though here it's only 7 days, it really feels like much longer than that. The anticipation leading up to Pesach is like kind of an extra week and a half. Even just getting back into normal life takes a couple of days afterwards. And depending on where you were and what you were doing, if you were home, if you were hosting, if you flipped your kitchen inside out, or if you were traveling, it really, to me, feels almost like April is taken over by Pesach. And I know for me, most years really do fall off the wagon when it comes to a lot of my habits, specifically on Pesach more than any other holiday, because so much is affected by, you know, the dietary restrictions around Pesach and the way that food looks really different. And depending on where I am, every year we switch off if we're with my family or with my husband's family. And this year we had a really, really beautiful holiday. We were in the Dead Sea, which was so, so nice. We were at a hotel there, which was amazing. really, actually, I feel like of all years, this was the year I needed it the most because I really just am not feeling great these days in my third trimester. And it would have been just a lot like physically on my body to have to clean and prep for Pesach. And I know it's just a huge, huge blessing, huge privilege that I didn't have to do that this year. And I didn't really have to think about a lot of the, you know, prep and cleanup and cooking and all that kind of stuff. So I actually felt like I had a really restorative holiday, and I do not mean to complain about it at all. I'm not complaining because it helped me, and it did feel super relaxing for me. But there are definitely challenges when it comes to trying to maintain some semblance of a healthy routine and healthy eating habits when food is so out of your control. And especially it happens to be the hotel that my husband's family goes to. If anyone here is like familiar with Pesach programs, they can range from being pretty low key to like extremely extravagant and over the top. And sometimes with the food, it really is just to the point where it's like completely gluttonous and over the top and way more food than anybody ever needs in their entire lifetime stuffed into a week, to the point where it's overwhelming and it nauseates me. Happens to be the hotel that we go to. It's not really like that. There's definitely more than enough food. There's a lot of food around, but it's not crazy over the top. I think in general, a lot of the programs in Israel are a little bit more low key than the ones that are in the United States or in like Mexico area, South America, Europe, etc. So we had a really nice holiday, but there was just still a lot of food a lot of the time. And the blood sugar balance, you know, that I normally aim for was just not happening. I don't know if it's like a willpower thing in pregnancy. I don't know if it's just being around all this stuff all the time. At a certain point, I'm just like, oh my gosh, it looks so tempting. But I definitely ease up on a lot of my regular boundaries with sugar and with the kinds of meals that I put together. And again, listen, I know it sounds a little bit like ridiculous, and I really don't want it to come off as complaining, because I really do think like if you're going to go on a Pesach program and complain about the food, you can just like go kick rocks. It's really obnoxious. At the same time, I have found just growing up, my family was always either home or we would rent an apartment in Miami. And even though that was also like really nice and, you know, a fun getaway, we were always in charge of the food. So the food was like relatively simple and it was pretty healthy relatively. Like we'd make grilled chicken, we'd make omelets, we would make salads. It was much easier to stick to the way that I normally was eating with that kind of setup. Whereas like in a hotel, it's just like meal after meal. And even if they offer like salads and veggies, a lot of times they're not cooked the way that I like it. And I'm not super picky, but after, you know, a couple of days of the same thing, things feel really repetitive. And then I'm like, oh, you know, the brownies just look so good. So I really fell off the wagon. And I'm sure I'm not the only one. I know that for so many of my clients, this was a big conversation that we've had leading up to this last week. You know, how are we going to manage over Pesach? And a few people were telling me they were really anxious, especially for people who keep really strict restrictions around like vegetables and only eat vegetables that they could peel. You feel pretty limited in healthy options. And what I told most of my clients to really focus on is like, just try as much as possible to enjoy yourself, to tap in to the other aspects of the holiday that are going to be so restorative and special and good for your health in other ways, whether that's sleeping more, or maybe you're getting more movement in or more sunshine or more time with family, because those things are also really good for our health. Maybe you're just more relaxed, and that's not something to underrate when it comes to our health. You know, stress is such a big part of what's causing a lot of people's chronic health issues and hormonal issues. So really just try to like turn up the dial on the things that are going to go well. And don't worry so much about the food, because the truth is, in every single person's health journey, every single person that I've worked with, every single person that I know, you end up falling off the wagon at some point. And it's not really a huge deal, as long as you know how to get back on and how to really start to change your mindset to focus on long-term health and long-term habits that support your health. Because even if you were, you know, totally off track,
in a million and one ways throughout the last week, it's really just a week. And so when you zoom out and you're trying to focus on, you know, building healthy habits for 6 months, a year, 5 years, 10 years, a week is kind of just like a blip on the screen. It really doesn't matter that much as long as, again, you're able to get back on track. And that's what I really want to focus on in this episode is how do you get back on track? Because it's so normal. It happens to everyone. It doesn't mean you're a failure. It also doesn't mean like that much for your long-term health. And so if you're like me and you just totally fell off the wagon, but you want to get back into better habits, then this episode is for you. So we're going to talk about, first of all, why we get so off track during, you know, holidays and vacation and when we're out of routine, why it's normal, why it's not something that needs to completely, you know, throw you off this health journey forever. We're going to talk about reframing the all or nothing mentality, which I know a lot of people have after holidays like this, like now I need to go on a cleanse or now I need to give up sugar forever. Or now I need to do something really extreme. It's funny, like a lot of the people that I was around were saying things like that, like, oh my gosh, after this week, I'm going to fast for 2 days. Like literally saying things like that because we just had so much food and it felt like the meals were never ending. And especially for people who kept multiple days of Yom Tov or like multiple days of the part of the holiday where the meals are really, really big and long. You almost feel like you're so stuffed with food that you're like, I can't even think about food again. But fasting for 2 or 3 days is not the answer to fixing that. So we're going to talk about reframing that mindset if you fell into that at all. We're going to talk about some actually practical reset steps in terms of getting back into the swing of things, hopefully give you a little bit of motivation and some examples of how you can put that into practice. And I hope that this will be helpful for some of you guys. I know it's going to be helpful for me to talk this through with you. So I'm excited to get into it. So let's talk about why we get off track around holidays or vacation in the first place. First of all, for so many people, they don't realize that there are so many subtle subconscious cues that are built into your day-to-day routine that affect your habits. So I'll give you an example. Like for me, and you know, it's funny, I'm recording this. I'm 31 weeks pregnant. We're getting there. Not like exactly at the end, but I can start to see the light at the end of the tunnel. And so many of my habits are really different in pregnancy because of reasons I've talked about in other episodes, and we're not going to get into them here. But so many of my routines around like getting outside, getting sunshine, getting daily movement, walking a lot, exercise, a lot of that has just been so different for me in pregnancy because of a lot of the physical pelvic floor issues and things like that that I have. And I know for me, let's say like even just that daily morning walk that I would normally take with my kids, it like sets the stage for all these other things that are going to happen. Like after that, I go home and I have my breakfast and I do my supplements. And there's this whole like routine that I just got into the habit of that. Then if my kids are not going to daycare, not having that drop-off piece where like I walk them and then that sets off the whole domino effect of my routine. We like cut the cord first thing in the morning. And then it can almost feel like all of the habits start to tumble. I know for a lot of people, if you're not in your own home, there's so many things about being in your own home that like lends the ability for you to be in some sort of healthy routine, whether that's going to the gym or making your breakfast. And then of course, I think specifically with this holiday, again, because so many of the healthy meals that you might be gravitating towards, even if they are technically things you could have on Passover, let's say for me, like if I don't have my blender with me, I can't have a healthy smoothie in the morning for breakfast. And this was actually something that when I do go to my parents, a couple of years ago, I bought a blender. I just want to have one over Passover. We use it so much. It was a great investment. It was not an expensive blender. But like this year, I didn't have my blender. I didn't have all my smoothie ingredients. So breakfast kind of started to, you know, look different in the morning. And that was something that became tricky. Obviously, sleep looks really different. And I know for so many people, sleep is their keystone habit. Even if what they're really focusing on is, you know, I want to be eating healthier meals and I really want to be getting more nutrient-dense foods into my body, it's really hard to do that when you're not sleeping properly. So whether that's because you're just staying up late with all these late-night meals or because, you know, the Seder runs late, or for whatever reason, if you're not home, you're not sleeping well, you're not in your own bed, if you traveled and you're dealing with jet lag, just that shift in your sleep routine can start to affect so many other things. I think there's also there's a real gravity to the idea that like we're not in our regular life mode when we're in something like Pesach. So I know for me also, like I took the week off, I wasn't working. If my kids are totally out of daycare, it's just at this point, like it's such a struggle for me to get any kind of real work done. It's not worth it. Like the mental struggle, the quality of my work, I feel like it's better for me to just take off. And then once my kids are back in daycare, I can like come in with full force and my mind will be so much clearer. The quality of my work will be so much better. And I'm very grateful that I have the flexibility in my schedule to do that. But I know for so many people, if they're not working, or there's just this idea for whatever reason, like it's not regular life, I'm on a break, it's vacation, it's a holiday. That mental shift in and of itself is like, I don't really have to hold myself accountable to the behaviors that I think, you know, are quote unquote, like important for real life, because this isn't quote unquote real life. Even though, yes, it's a part of life, it's a different part of life, it's a different season, but that's okay. And I think like, again, that's something I sort of in general have in pregnancy. Like this isn't exactly my real life. So it's okay that I've slipped up on a lot of my habits and things shift and always look really different depending on the season that you're in. But I think that's a real shift that people go through, and it makes you act differently when you're like, I'm just on vacation. This isn't my regular life. I can eat differently. I can skip going to the gym. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. I think it's really important to both have the discipline to have healthy routines and healthy habits. I'm such a believer in it. Like there is a lot of freedom to me in the discipline. And I see that especially with things like sleep and exercise. When you really get into a habit of going to bed early, getting good quality sleep, and being in a good exercise routine where you're really building strength, it feels amazing. You don't feel like a slave to these routines. You actually feel so much stronger and more empowered. And there's a real freedom in that, that you have this mastery over yourself to do hard things and to do things that, you know, maybe other people around you aren't doing. And while I think that discipline is really valuable, I think it's also really important to say, okay, but there are times in life where, you know, I'm not a slave to the routine either. I'm able to travel and go on vacation and enjoy holidays and have some of that ease and flexibility and be able to flow in and out of it. So it doesn't feel like this, you know, slavery or, you know, obsession or cult of health that I think we do see a lot of people have. And that's where I think it becomes really stressful and can sort of morph from being healthy to something that can actually be really unhealthy, that can cause a lot of anxiety for people, which is not what we want. So I think that mental shift of like, I'm on vacation, I'm, you know, gonna start breakfast with a brownie, like maybe you wouldn't do that in real life. And if you do have that mindset shift over vacation, it's okay, because your real life isn't going to become vacation. You're probably not gonna go do that now. You know, grab that before school or before work. It's okay to have different habits and have those things shift over vacation. There's also a real hormonal shift that happens in terms of like, you know, when you're not sleeping the same way, when you're traveling. There's so many really interesting things that happen in general with traveling. And I know a lot of my clients, especially who live here and traveled back to America, like there's so many crazy things that happen to our periods. I always warn my clients who are really, you know, working on goals around regulating their cycle. Like sometimes you just get on an airplane, even if there's no time change, we don't know exactly why, but it's so common for your period or ovulation to be delayed when that's happening. Sometimes people, you know, quote unquote, skip a period, which is not really a thing. You just delay ovulation, but that's something that a lot of people have experienced. It's really common. Even if you're not stressed and you're enjoying yourself, like it's not necessarily a bad thing. We just see it a lot when people travel, that your cycle can be really different. And then also with those kinds of hormonal changes, that can affect things like cravings and energy levels and all that sort of stuff. Another big change, I don't know how relevant it is for everybody listening, but you know, consuming alcohol, which just on Passover, if you're drinking a lot of wine, that can also then definitely affect your hormones, your mood, your energy levels, all that kind of stuff. So the fact that we get off track is not really what I want to focus on in this episode, because it happens. And if it didn't happen to you over this Pesach and you're like, I made amazing choices, I'm really proud of myself, amazing. Like, I'm so happy for you. But if you did get off track, I want you to try not to dwell on the guilt or the shame in that, because there's really nothing to be ashamed of. It's normal to not be in your regular habit or routine over a holiday or over vacation. One thing that I do find is really helpful, this is something I remind myself of, is that even though I definitely was not, you know, doing my best in terms of like food or exercise over the last week, I think back to previous years, like before I started this whole health journey, and I just think, wow, I am still miles ahead of where I came from. The fact that I even ate vegetables over Pesach, like that's not something I used to do. I really, you know, I've just come such a long way in general that even now my kind of like quote unquote lows are still so much higher than what my lows used to be like. And so that's still something I can tap into and feel proud of and say, okay, I might've, you know, not done as well as I normally do in my regular routine, but it's still so much better than what it used to be. And especially like, let's compare apples and apples, not apples and oranges. If I compare Pesach 2000 and I don't know, 15 to 2025, like literally a world of a difference. I made such better, healthier choices this year, even though there was still a lot more sugar and a lot more treats and a lot less focus on fiber and all that kind of thing. So it's totally normal to get off track. And once that happens, again, let's accept it. Let's not dwell on it too much. Let's start to talk about how to get back on the wagon. And again, I really want to warn you not to fall into that trap of this, like, you know, I have to make this drastic shift. I have to do some kind of crazy cleanse or, you know, detox situation because I was so quote unquote bad over Pesach. First of all, for most people, that is not going to be something that will likely set you up for long-term health, that will not really support long-term healthy habits. What's going to help you is getting back into a routine that you can maintain consistently. So if you can look at this week and say, what are a couple of things I can start focusing on that I know I can build on and really accomplish over the next 6 weeks, that can turn into something that's sustainable that I continue to build on for 6 months. And so something like going for a morning walk for 5 or 10 minutes to me is much more powerful if you know you can actually stick to that, as opposed to trying to do a water fast or, you know, a processed food detox, if that's something that like doesn't really resonate with you or that just feels way too hard and not sustainable. We also know, and there's so much really interesting research on this, that we tend to behave in ways that are most consistent with our identities. So this is something that I also have really learned how to tap into in a way that I'm really proud of, because it's funny, like if you listen to this podcast, if you follow me on social media, you probably really think like, oh, Lauren, she's that health girl and talks about nutrition and, you know, eats vegetables and protein and blood sugar balance and like all those things people associate me with. It really is such a shift from where I used to be. And I, for such a long time, I was the sugar addict. I was the baker. I was like the girl who was always down to go out at midnight for ice cream or chocolate souffle. And it took a very long time for me to shift the way I identify, not as like a salad girl, because that I would say is not the way I identify, but I do identify now as a healthy person, as someone who values health, who really values my body and like values my life. It sounds, you know, it sounds so serious and intense, but to me, and now it's become a form of like self-care and self-worth and really, really valuing myself as a mother in terms of my fertility and pregnancy and all those things. It's like wrapped up into that identity. And just because I didn't eat super healthy over Pesach, it doesn't break that identity. That's something that's really strong that I've built up over the past 5.5 years that can't be undone in a week. And we know that for consistency, it really helps to have an identity like that, where you are acting in alignment with an identity. And in order to build an identity where you also view yourself as someone who cares about health and takes good care of your body and makes healthy choices, you're more likely to build that identity through frequency of behavior. So let me explain what I mean. That means that if you decide every single day, I'm going to do, you know, 10 minutes of exercise, I could tell you from the science, 10 minutes of exercise is probably not going to be the thing that transforms your body or transforms your hormones or, you know, completely reverses your insulin resistance. It's not to say that it doesn't have an effect. It's not to say it doesn't, quote unquote, count, because a lot of people ask, like, does it count if I only do 10 minutes? Of course it counts. Of course, 10 minutes is better than nothing. But we know really, yeah, ideally you would be doing anywhere from 30 to 45 minutes, you know, 3 to 4 times a week of exercise. Okay, fine. But for some people, if they're, you know, starting at zero, doing 45 minutes of exercise 4 times a week is a lot. And that's so out of line with your identity that you're not going to be able to actually do it and do it consistently. So what's much better to do is to say, I'm going to commit to 5 to 10 minutes. Maybe you find some perfect 7-minute workout on your exercise app or on YouTube. And if you commit to doing that every day, you start to transform your brain. And you tell yourself every single day, I'm making time, no matter what happens, I'm doing those 7 minutes of exercise. You get the endorphins, you get a dopamine hit when you check off that goal that you set for yourself. And it only takes a couple of weeks to start to really build that identity where you're like, I am a person who makes time for exercise. And it's not even like a trick in your mind, because you have the proof after a couple of weeks. Yes, this is something that I do. I show up for myself. I commit to it. I make time for it. And then I follow through with it. Once you've kind of got that under your belt, it's so much easier to start extending the habit or do what I call like getting better at the habit. So being more intentional with, well, okay, well now let's think about what type of exercise. Can we go from 7 minutes to, you know, 10 minutes? Can we build up to 15 minutes, 20 minutes? Once you're there, once you're doing 20 minutes a couple of times a week, bumping up to 30 minutes a few times a week is not that hard. It's much harder if you say, I'm going to exercise for an hour on Sunday because I feel so gross and I ate so much and whatever. That 1 hour doesn't really transform you. What transforms you is the frequency of doing it multiple times throughout the week and doing that consistently over time. So I really always encourage my clients, whether it's with exercise or sleep or food, having that regular, frequent focus on like, this is something I care about. Let's say, you know, if you want to bring it back to food, let's say it's vegetables or fiber, because most of us can really benefit just from eating more, you know, leafy greens, fiber-filled foods. That's something that I say, I see almost across the board, even when I have a lot of people come to me who say, I already eat really healthy. I don't know why my hormones are so out of whack. Almost all of them are still underdoing it when it comes to fiber, which is why I like really teach the specifics of how to get enough fiber and which foods have enough fiber inside of my courses and my programs. But let's say that's your goal. You're like, okay, every single day for at least one meal or every meal, whatever goal you want to pick, I focus on getting fiber into my body. And so maybe that means you're eating something that you wouldn't normally eat every day. Maybe that's avocado or lentils or beans. I know for me, like a really easy one, I went to the supermarket today, I picked them up, is beets. I don't dislike beets. I don't particularly crave them either. Like if I have them around, I'm happy to eat them, but it's not something that I will naturally just like grab and gravitate towards. It's something I have to put in effort to be like, oh, let me put that on my shopping list. Let me cook them. Let me chop them up and make them with a dressing that I like, so I'll actually eat them. But they're really high in fiber. They're really good for blood sugar balance. They have a lot of good antioxidants. Also just fun fact, they're really good for fertility, really good for uterine blood flow. Just like a good all around veggie to consume regularly in your diet. But maybe that's your focus, is that like every single day you train your brain to say, how am I getting fiber into my diet today? Can I add, you know, a spoonful of chia seeds into my yogurt or my smoothie or my overnight oats or whatever the thing is? And when you start doing that daily, you become this person who's like, I am, you know, every single day I'm committed to putting healthy food into my body. I'm committed to thinking about this, to taking a little bit of extra effort in order to, you know, do something healthier for my body. And again, that isn't something that's going to transform the way you view yourself in a week. But if you're able to pick something small enough that you can commit to for 2 to 3 weeks, it's pretty amazing how much can happen in just 2 or 3 weeks. That's when you really start to get the momentum going. That's when you're able to say like, okay, let me bump this up a little bit. I'm in such a good flow with this. I can keep going. The hardest part is getting started. Once you're in the flow of it, it's much easier to continue. And so I want to encourage you to think about these different areas of your health, maybe wherever you feel like right now you need the biggest, step up. For some people, that might be hydration. I know that was such a big discussion that we had over Pesach. It was so funny. Everyone was making fun of me because I actually went out and bought this. I have to post a picture of it on social media. I bought this insane water bottle. I went to the mall in the Dead Sea, which if you've ever been to Israel, there are some malls that are amazing, like really beautiful high-end malls that remind me of, okay, I can't say they remind me of the malls that I grew up with because I grew up in Westchester, which has like really, really beautiful malls. But there's some that are like more similar to that. And then there's some malls that are just so weird. Like sometimes it just hits me when I live here, when I go to a weird mall, it's like, what is going on here? But this was one of those weird malls. Like the stores were weird. I couldn't find any of the things that I was looking for. And I was literally like hobbling around the mall before Pesach, just looking for a water bottle. I was like, I don't care if it's stainless steel, I'll get a plastic water bottle. I just need something because like I'm so thirsty all the time, especially pregnant. And if you've never been to the Dead Sea, it gets really hot. Like it was up to almost 100 degrees when we were there. So I ended up finding this water bottle that they sold as a set. It's like this massive water bottle. I think the one that was shown in the store was almost a liter. And I felt it and I like felt something inside of it. So I opened it up to look at the inside and then like out pops another water bottle, which is like a regular size water bottle. Then I take that one out. And then I like shake it around. And inside of that is like a teeny tiny little tube of a water bottle that doesn't even have a normal straw. It's like a screw off top. And it was basically, if you know those Russian nesting dolls where like there's a little doll inside a bigger doll inside a bigger doll inside a bigger doll. It was basically that with water bottles. And I asked the woman at the store, because I walked around the whole mall. This was the only water bottle sold in the entire mall. I was like, can I just get the middle size? Like, I just want a regular water bottle. And she said, no, it's only sold as a set. I was like, I really don't want to pay for this overpriced, like garbage water bottle set that ended up, one of them ended up breaking when we were there. But I was like, fine, whatever. It doesn't matter. I'm just going to get it. And they were all like rainbow tie-dye matching. I was like, you know what? I have three water bottles. Great. The giant one is for me. The middle size one will be for my daughter and the teeny tiny one will be for my 2-year-old son. And like our whole family just kept laughing at these like matching water bottles. And it just like the little one also, it really looked ridiculous. It didn't look like a water bottle. It was like this weird little tube. Like it looked like a test tube with a cover. But since I got that, I was able to at least like have tons of water by the pool. I still, probably didn't drink as much as I normally do because it didn't keep my water cold and whatever. I'm a little bit of a water snob. But I was relatively hydrated compared to like my husband would tell me, at the end of the day, he's like, oh, I haven't drank water all day. And it was 100 degrees and we were outside all day. I'm like, you need to drink. It's not okay. And he'd be all red and like falling apart. So I know for a lot of people, the hydration piece might be like just one place you want to get started every single day. I'm going to wake up. I'm going to drink one cup of water or two cups of water every single day. I'm going to commit. I'm going to wake up and fill up my water bottle. Maybe you had the same water bottle as me and it broke when you, literally put it down on the ground because these water bottles were made of garbage. So if yours broke, maybe it's ordering a new water bottle on Amazon. Whatever it is, pick your place where you're going to focus on and set a specific, really, really doable goal to have for this week. Maybe for you, it's more about the food. I know a lot of people feel like my meals were really not balanced over Pesach. And you just have a goal around having a balanced breakfast, getting in your protein, your fiber, your healthy fats, your complex carbs. Maybe it's about adding in some more fruits and veggies. Maybe for you, it's about cutting out some of the processed foods. I know I ate a lot more processed foods. My like kryptonite, especially in this pregnancy, is potato chips. Like, oh my gosh, if potato chips are in front of me, I could eat the entire bag. And I did. There were times where I ate lots of bags of potato chips, especially. I don't know why potato chips are like such a thing over Pesach. It's not like we were lacking food, but it's just the go-to snack for everybody. And so I definitely need a potato chip-free couple of weeks in the near future. Like I really feel nauseous just from looking at them. At the same time, I also still crave them all the time. But like maybe your goal is around, okay, I just had so much dessert. I had so much processed food. Like I need a break from that. I really want to be eating more wholesome natural foods. Maybe sleep was just totally all over the place for you, and you have goals around getting into bed at a normal hour. Maybe it's about getting back into an exercise habit. Whatever the thing is, I want you to pick something, pick a specific thing. If you need help and accountability, you can even just like message me, DM me on Instagram, send me an email, be like, this is my thing that I'm focusing on for this week. I'll tell you, for so many of my clients, that is one of the biggest things that helps them, is that accountability and telling me what their goals are, saying it out loud or writing it down. There's so much power in being specific about your goals, as opposed to like, I had a really hard week health-wise. I wasn't doing my best. I really want to be healthier this week. That means nothing. That's very unlikely to get you any tangible results. What's much more effective is being really specific with your goals, whether that's drinking 2 cups of water or exercising for 10 minutes a day or going to bed by 11 instead of 12, whatever the thing is. Another thing I'm going to encourage you to do is ease into it, especially if you feel like, let's say with exercise, I know a lot of people will try to go like extra hard because they skipped a bunch of their workout days. That's just going to leave you super sore. And then you can't exercise for the next couple of days because you're so sore. So you don't have to feel like you have to make up for a week or 2 weeks worth of not being super healthy. Try as much as you can, like adjust your mindset. We're here for the long-term game. Our hormones are not going anywhere. If you're here because you care about your hormones, your health, your fertility, your longevity, these are things that are not going to change in a day anyways. So there's no rush. Take your time with it. Do it properly. Do it smart so you don't burn out or hurt yourself, whether that's with food or exercise. Another thing I will say is, depending on where you're at in your cycle, or if you're like me and you are currently pregnant, honor where you're at. Like, really honor the season that you're in, especially the phase of your cycle that you're in, as you return to routine. So if you are just, you know, moving from your follicular phase to your ovulatory phase, this is going to be a great time for you to be like, yes, I'm ready to get organized and I'm motivated and I'm going to eat really healthy and exercise and do all the things. Like, that's very aligned with that part of the cycle. If you're expecting your period in 5 days, your post-ovulation, you might not be feeling that. And you might need a week to just kind of like mentally readjust to regular life and regular routine before, you know, getting back to some of those healthy habits. And sometimes when you try too hard in the wrong phase of your cycle, it doesn't set you up for success. It actually just makes you like take all this motivation that doesn't go anywhere and it kind of backfires. So be realistic about where you're at. I could tell you, for me, like, I'm not starting any kind of new strength routine right now. I'm really going to try to start being more consistent with stretching. That's just about as much movement as I can picture doing these days. But I have definitely felt in my legs, in my feet, in my arms, in my sides, like really, really tight in a way that I haven't felt in a long time, because it's been a long time since I've been in an exercise or even yoga routine. I'm really going to try to commit to like 5 to 10 minutes of stretching a day. I think that's something that will help me feel a lot better, especially at night. And that's what makes sense for the season of life that I'm in right now and the situation with my body and where it's at. This is not the time for me to start, you know, like doing super high cardio or high intensity strength training. And I know there's people who talk about like, you know, you can do all of that when you're pregnant, and other people can. Lauren can't. So like, I know myself, I know my body, I know my pregnancies. This is not really the time for me to do that. It is something that I will say, one benefit that I really did notice for myself over this past week was my screen time was down tremendously. Like, I went from almost 5 or 6 hours a day on screen time to like less than one, which was amazing. I really was not on my phone. I was not scrolling on social media. I was not checking Instagram. Just because, honestly, I feel like when I'm with my whole family, I don't like to show up. And it was funny. Someone said to me, they're like, oh, it's so beautiful here in the Dead Sea. Like, you should get on and like say to all your followers, happy Pesach. I'm like, I can't do that in front of all my in-laws. Like, I know some people, they'll show a lot of their family life on social media. It's not for me. Like, it feels really weird, I'll be honest, when you're around certain people to like put on the whole social media face and voice. Not that it's not my real voice. It's not like I'm faking it, but there's like a, there's an aspect of like, I'm doing it for work that I just can't mesh so well when I'm with family. And also I really try just as much as possible when I'm with my kids to not be scrolling on my phone and not be on my phone when I'm with them. And I was just with them like literally 24/7, which was actually so nice. It was also chaotic and hectic, but it was really nice. So I spend a lot less time on my phone. I did spend a lot more time reading, which I haven't been in the best habit with for the last couple of months. I feel like, you know, for me, especially with a lot of my mental health struggles in pregnancy, I just want distraction. I want things to be easy. So like I have done a lot of scrolling. I'm just, you know, trying to distract myself, make the time pass more quickly. Doesn't really work. And I know it doesn't really work to spend a lot of time scrolling. Like that does not help my mental health at all. But just like a lot of us know that and, you know, still struggle to follow through with it. Especially at night. Like I just got into a really bad habit with that again. And over this past week, I really got back into reading, spending more time off my phone intentionally. That's something I really want to continue. And I also really want to start doing my like third trimester, getting ready for labor meditations. Meditation is not something I have done a lot in this pregnancy, somewhat consciously. Like I, again, just have a lot going on mental health wise. And I almost feel like I don't want to tap into it in meditation because that can feel just very overwhelming. But now that I have that light at the end of the tunnel, I'm like ready to start, you know, doing my hypnobirthing, getting ready for labor, all that kind of stuff. So I have my goals around that. And again, like that's just the season that I'm in. And if you're in a totally different season, your goals are going to look totally different. But I think that's a really important piece of getting back on track is honor the season you're at, whatever season it is that you're in, make sure that the goals you're setting do make sense and are realistic for that season. And that's going to look different depending on, you know, your work schedule or, you know, if you have kids of different ages or just what's happening with your family, if you have, you know, travels coming up, whatever your situation is, make sure that your goals are actually realistic in order for you to follow through with them. And again, going back to that identity piece, this is something I remind myself of constantly throughout pregnancy because a lot of my habits look so different. I remind myself like, this is what I need to do to be healthy right now. It's going to change. It's going to change postpartum. It's going to change when I'm done breastfeeding. It's going to change when I'm done having kids and like in a different phase of life. The most important thing is to hold on to that identity that I am someone who values my health. I am committed to taking good care of my body. I'm committed to loving my body. I do that in a lot of different ways through food, through movement, through different things that support my mental health, through, you know, really investing in my relationships. That's such a big part of our health too, which I should do a whole episode on, but I feel like I need to get, that's going to be a guest episode. I just have to find the right person to get into all of that with. But making sure, again, that you're holding on to that identity and building up that identity in whatever way makes sense for the season that you're in. And I will just tell you, having worked with women throughout their health journeys for the last 5 years, I have seen for so many people, like it really is so possible. You could fall so far off the wagon. You can revert or, you know, I don't love the idea of saying like regress, but let's just like say it how it is. You can kind of regress and fall off the wagon in so many different ways. And I've seen so many people say like, okay, you know what? I was really just like eating cake for 3 meals a day over this holiday. It doesn't matter. And then when they go forward for the next month, really focusing on their healthy habits, getting back on the wagon, that week of like not being super healthy, it literally disappears. It does not affect their long-term health. It doesn't affect their long-term mindset. And that's where I've seen people have the most long-term success. When they are able to say, okay, I fell off the wagon, no big deal. I'm not dwelling on it. I'm not giving power to it. I'm just getting back on and moving forward. And I'm not ashamed. I don't feel guilty. I actually think for some people, it's just a really important learning experience in your health journey to have those times where you're like, I didn't eat super healthy and I feel the effects of it. I could tell you like I ate a lot more dessert over the last week than I normally do. And I really noticed like I get headaches when I eat sugar and I kind of forgot about them. Cause for the most part, I just don't eat things that contain refined sugar. And it's pretty quick. Like I'll eat a little bit of dessert and I just get a little bit of a headache, or like I feel a little bit more nauseous later and it doesn't feel good. And I actually think there is something helpful and valuable in that to remind me, like, okay, yes, these things look delicious and it's enjoyable and I can sit and enjoy it. And also hold space to the fact that, like, physically, it does not serve me. It doesn't make me feel good. You know, when I have nothing to do except for sit by the pool all day and I have a headache, it's not the worst thing in the entire world. But, you know, in my regular routine, my regular work day, when I'm just regularly thinking about how I want to honor my body and take care of myself, it doesn't feel good to do that. It doesn't feel good to put things in my body that I know will cause me to have a headache or not be as productive as I normally am, or not have good energy. So it's not necessarily a bad thing. And I think there's actually a lot to learn and take from those experiences if we can look at them from a neutral place and say, like, okay, that happened. That kind of showed me, you know, what happens to my body when I eat that way. And especially if you don't like that feeling, that's something important to take forward. I know last year for me, obviously, I'm not like tracking my cycle right now. But last year, I really saw, and this could have been a combination. We had traveled to New York, and I also wasn't eating super healthy over Pesach, but my cycle really got like messed up just from Pesach for one cycle, not for, you know, many, many cycles afterwards. But I'm trying to think, that was like last year in April. And I knew I was like nearing-ish the time where I would want to start trying again for the next baby at some point. And I was like, okay, that happened. It threw my cycle off. I have to remember I have PCOS. I, you know, need to be mindful of the way that I eat and the amount of sugar that I consume, or it just messes with my ovulation. Like I just need to know that about myself. That's how my body works. It's not like a, you know, I need to be super strict and again go on this whole crazy. It's not that. It's just like understanding your body, understanding what you need. And I know for a lot of people, it does feel like, okay, this next cycle, it matters and it's so important. I'm trying like quickly to, you know, take charge of my health. And we all want those quick results. But I'm going to remind you that healing and health is not linear. It doesn't look the same for everybody. And it takes time. It really takes time. So focus on the long-term game. This is not about, you know, making sure you get back into everything this week, but that you can use this week as a jump start for what's going to happen for the next couple of months and get back on that trajectory, even if you're just taking one step forward a day or you're making 1% of progress a week, that will lead you to so much farther ahead in 6 months, 12 months, a year, 2 years, 5 years. And that's really what the ultimate goal is. So I hope that you guys like this episode. Again, you are more than welcome to message me, email me if you have any specific takeaways or any specific goals you're working on after listening to this episode. And I will remind you that we are starting, oh my gosh, I'm like so emotional about it because this is really my last hurrah before maternity leave. But we are starting the last live round of Balance Your Hormones 101. So if you do feel like you need a little bit of support, whether it's through the education or the accountability that's offered in Balance Your Hormones 101, then you can definitely sign up for that. You can click the link in the show notes to get all the info about it. And I hope to see you there. And if not, I'll see you back next week for another episode. So thanks for listening. And wherever you are, I hope you're feeling good and that this will be a great week for you in your health journey. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to the About Health and Hormones podcast. If you loved today's episode, I would love to know. Please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify so I can make this podcast even better for you all. I would love to connect with you. Follow me on Instagram at Lauren Allen Nutrition or head to my website, www.laurenallennutrition.com, to learn about my coaching programs and stay up to date on all of my latest workshops and courses. I am so glad you are here today, and I wish you all health and happiness.